We go to the Rebel Wireless Hotline and welcome in our good friend Terry Pluto, sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Terry, I want to start with the big news that will be announced tomorrow morning, Jim Brown's return to the Browns fold. How important is this?
Well, I think it's just important from a legacy tradition point. I mean, Jim does not have a lot of say in terms of player personnel or any of those things. But, you know, I just thought it was really bad a few years ago when they had the whole Ring of Honor thing and he wasn't there. And so it's good to have him back. And also, you know, fans love the history. And I remember writing a column at that point, you know, where Jim was in the separated from the Browns, that, hey, every year, fewer and fewer of his friends are there. You know, time is passing, and you don't want to let any more time go by. I know a lot of the players will be thrilled, because I did a book on the 64 Browns, to see Jim just kind of back in good graces with the organization, and so that they could have him out there. And certainly, when Jim sets his mind to it, he could be a tremendous public goodwill ambassador for the team.
Well, that's a perspective I wanted to get from you. How important, from a broader perspective, fans? Because, as you say, generations yep. change and fan bases change. People mm-hmm. get older. People die off. When you look at Cleveland and the Browns fan base, how big is it to them to still have the organization embrace Jim Brown?
Well, not just Jim Brown, but all these different guys, because the fact is, you know, when the team left and came back, they have not been able to have people who are, you know, legacy players and guys that you look at and say, boy, that's, you know, that guy is going to be close to our hearts forever. And so with each passing year, whether you're talking Bernie Kosar or Frank Ryan or Jim Brown, you know, just about all the remnants of the great Paul Brown teams, with the exception of Jim Brown, a few others are gone. So this is just a good thing for the fans. And I think it's even a better thing for Jim, because having our differences and all that, when you get older, I don't know about you, Vic, you go look back at some of the minor spats that I've had in my life, mm-hmm. go, boy, was that stupid.
Yes.
and I think maybe Jim did a little bit of that, too. Let's just all get back together. I give Jimmy Haslam and whoever else was involved in that credit on putting this thing together, too.
And I think the key, too, is the right role for mm-hmm. him. And I think part of the problem that existed before Mike Holmgren's arrival was that maybe the feeling on the part of Holmgren was that Jim was put in a position that might have been, I don't know, other than what he thought a legacy player should be. I get the sense, and we'll get more details about it tomorrow, I get the sense that it's going to be a lot more ambassador-defined now than it was before.
Well, it may have been defined that way, but Jim wanted it to be something else. Yeah. See, that's the other thing, too. When you deal with Jim Brown, you're dealing with Jim Brown. And he, you know, he looks at the world his way, and sometimes Jim even likes a little bit of tension, likes a little bit of a fight. You know, that's part of his personality. It's part of what made him a great player. So I think at this point, you know, the ambassador role is where he ought to be, and hopefully it'll be something he'll be content with, and he'll use it well.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim, just let people go out and love on him a little bit, you know?
Right, and he communicates so well, too, with younger people,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's another important element. Having had a chance to sit down with him and just talk with him about different guys, not only on the Browns, but players throughout the league who might have their issues, their problems off the field, he has some definite opinions on some of the causes for that, a good feel for that in terms of upbringing and whatnot. And I think there's a way that he can connect with some of the young men in that locker room that others can't.
Yeah, I hope so, just as long as he doesn't think he's an assistant coach.
Right, yeah, there's a difference between...
Right, I'm just telling you that...
Life coach, maybe.
Yeah.
Life coaching, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, Terry, let's talk about this current Browns team, and you've had time to come out to OTAs, watch the practices, mm-hmm. and some of your takeaways. I know from the standpoint, let's get the quarterback thing out of the way first. You have a real sense that this should be something that is driven by Brandon Whedon, and that this team kind of puts its efforts into getting him right and trusting in him to do the job versus maybe something else going on.
Well, I think you would be very hard-pressed to find somebody who's been in the league for a while and would look at Brandon Whedon with 15 NFL starts going into the second year, Jason Campbell with, I think it's something like 60-some starts, or Brian Hoyer who's going into his fifth year with one start, and say, you know what we need to do? We need to hand this job to Brian Hoyer, or we need to hand this job to Jason Campbell, they would say, no, we have a pretty good idea who those guys are. And we think Campbell could be, you know, an okay starter. He's a good backup. Hoyer, let's face it, he's been through several teams. It's a remarkable thing. He's earned his way into the league being an undrafted free agent, but let's not go overboard. Whedon is the guy with the ability that we really don't know how far he can go. And you put him in the system where he's in the shotgun, which is what he was in college. You accent his being able to throw downfield. You hide some of the weaknesses with two experienced offensive play callers in Chasinski and Turner. And then you'll know at the end of the year what kind of player he is. Whereas if you put Campbell in there, you know what Campbell is right now. I mean, you really
right.
do.
71 starts. Yeah,
yeah,
you should.
And he's okay. I mean, that's it. But he's not going to be better than that, and you would love to have him as a backup. And Brian Hoyer, you know, Arizona, frankly, let him go. I mean, he was a guy that they've been looking for quarterbacks. And so we'll see. But he's a really good third guy, and I like the threesome of quarterbacks this year than the last threesome that went through here where you had McCoy and Thad Lewis. But this has got to be about Whedon and finding out about him, putting him in positions where he could do well. And I think we're going to see that he will be a better quarterback this year. I'd be stunned. He's also got Devon Best now to throw to. He didn't have a guy like that before. Best has impressed me in a couple of practices I've seen.
Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Terry, the other things that jump out, a lot of people have talked about what a really good offseason this has been for Josh Gordon and the mm-hmm. obvious reason that he didn't have one last year. But it seems that just looking at some of the stuff you've written for the PD, you're even more impressed with what Greg Luddell has shown.
Yeah, and that's talking to some of the football people, too, say that he's really starting to figure it out. You know, I think the second half of last year he did. And let's face it, he didn't play his last year at his final year at North Carolina, the agent thing. So he sits out that whole year. He plays 2 years. And most of these guys, it's really in their third year where they begin to understand what the league's about. And so I think Little is a guy that Gordon will make more big plays. But Little could be a guy that could be a very good receiver on this team. Also, you got to be careful, Vic, and you've been around football much longer than I have on, you know, these OTAs. It's millionaires in shorts playing touch football.
Right.
And so guys that are really fast and so on will look very good because nobody's getting hit. Well, right. One thing about Greg Little, he likes to hit people. He takes hits. He's durable. He's an excellent blocker. So when we see him catching passes and getting open, we know that he's not going to be a guy that's going to be knocked off his spot or intimidated by contact once it starts. If anything, he'll initiate it. He likes it.
Yeah, he does. And the other thing I'm hoping for, I call it the Devon Best factor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that Greg Little, as he does, pays attention to everything that's going on out there, watches how Devon Best goes about his business, watches how consistent he is
yeah.
in catching the football, and then says, you know what happens when you catch the football all the time? Quarterback looks to throw to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, and maybe it's more hoping than thinking, that Little sees that and it registers with him.
Well, the second half of last year, I had him with 2 drops the last 8 games. So, you know,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 6 and overall, right, I think it was.
6 overall, and if you go to Pro Football Focus, they're a little actually great drops a little more like I do. They're a little tougher on it. I think they had him with 8, but they only had him with 2 in the second half also, second half of the season. So point being, there was a marked improvement, and not only that, he was being thrown to far more often in the second half of the season than the first. So it isn't that, well, you dropped fewer balls because they threw less to him. No, they've been thrown. They threw a little more because why? Like you just said, he caught it.
So is there a way that maybe the people who have been so concerned, frustrated, whatever the word is, about the receiving core of the Browns and the passing game in general, can maybe have something now to grab onto? We've said Josh Gordon should be the leading guy and should be even a more explosive guy than he was, that he demonstrated toward the mid and second half of last season. If Little is making the progress we think he is, we know the impact that Best can have as a consistent slot receiver. And then you think about a guy like a Travis Benjamin possibly
mm-hmm.
impacting with his speed, impacting the receiving core more than he did as a rookie. Should we be more excited about the prospect that bigger plays are to come in the passing game?
Well, so this way, if it doesn't happen with that group, then you need a new quarterback. I mean,
yeah.
Get right down to it.
Yeah.
You've got the right offense. You've got players that are improving. Because right now, you know, Little's in his third year. Best has been around. Benjamin is, and Gordon are in their second seasons. you know, if David Nelson gets healthy and can play, he's been around. The big question will be, I don't know what tight end they're going to throw to. I mean, I know we got Cameron, but, you know, he has to prove he can stay healthy and he can do it. The rest of those guys are just kind of blockers and, you know, people like that. But I'm encouraged by that part of it. I really am, because the receivers got an upgrade in Best. They're more experienced. And the offense should fit the quarterback and the receivers better.
And I think, too, this offense, the Browns threw to running backs previously under Pat Shurmur.
Right.
I think there's even more of that that's going to happen with this, with Trent Richardson and this running back receiving game, if you will, because you just look at a lot of the plays that are being run in OTAs, mm-hmm. and backs do catch a lot of passes.
I talked to Deion Lewis, and he thinks he could be a factor in everything, because when you're 5'2" or whatever he is, to make the league, you got to have tremendous confidence.
Right.
But I think he's right in the passing game. He definitely can, because you get him the ball out in some room and let him run, he could be very impressive. You know, Obanaya is a nice receiver out of the backfield. They brought back Brandon Jackson because he can catch the ball. And I know, too, they look at that group and they say, you know, we think Richardson's going to be all right, but he has had some injuries. They look at Hardesty and they say, well, we hope he's all right, but he's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
So let's load up with these running backs behind him. So we got Obanaya and you got Lewis. And you've got Jackson, and, you know, maybe they even bring in somebody else. I don't know. But the point being, they want some depth back there. They don't want it like a few years ago. Remember when they ended up having to pull Benay off the street and start him?
Yeah. No, they don't want to go back to that.
Yeah.
One thing I want to make sure we cover, in a recent column you wrote, you made a point that the feeling of the Browns hierarchy is that too many players mm-hmm. had a sense of entitlement. And when you make moves like bringing in a Brian Hoyer, as they did after the draft and other acquisitions, that you do this with an eye toward getting rid of that feeling.
Yeah, so to let these guys know that, look, we're always looking for somebody better. And if we can find somebody better, we're going to bring them in. And so I suggest you do your homework, just like that, real simple. And so Brandon Jackson joins the other running backs. You know, they were able to get Brandon Jackson. I don't think a dollar of his contract's guaranteed, from what I heard. I haven't seen the final numbers, but that's what I believe. But you look at Brandon Jackson, you know, actually when he played right at the end of the season, he didn't look bad.
No, he didn't. There's another guy, if he can stay healthy, what he could contribute, mm-hmm. and I think it's quite a bit. He's good at blocking. He's good at receiving. I think he's a good fit for this offense.
You know, he's a guy, I think, honey, had like 2 penalties in the last 4 years when he was playing in Green Bay. It's like a guy who knows what he's doing, and that's what they want. So, yes, they felt that too many of the young players were simply handed the job. And, hey, Greg Little was one of those guys. And some others, and say, hey, it's all yours. But they look behind them, and they didn't see anybody there to press them. Right. So, you know, at first when they get coaching, they think, well, my way is better than the coach's way. And besides, who's he going to put in? Where I think they want the feeling now that, look, I may be better than Brandon Jackson. But Brandon Jackson's played in this league for 5 years. And you can put him in the game and not embarrass yourself.
Right.
You know, I may be better than this guy. I may be better than David Nelson, some guy thinks, okay, you know, a young guy. But, you know, David Nelson, if he's healthy, he caught 61 balls here. You know, so that's the feeling that they're trying to – one of the Browns people told me, some of these guys may hardly get into games, but the impact they can make in practice, and just the fact that when you look over your shoulder, there's a viable player behind you.
Yeah, it's a psychological thing, a psych
game.
Right,
and football likes all that. They like all this. They play the mind games, you know, and they want to squeeze you a little bit mentally and everything because the fact that the game does that to you. Eric Mangini was very good one time explaining that whole thing for me, how he always cranked up the pressure, you know, the pressure. He goes, because the game itself, it feels like you're right on the edge of chaos a lot. You know, it's fast, it's violent. You have to make quick decisions. And if you're not prepared during the week, it just shows up in the weekend. And he said, so this way, that's why he goes, our coaches will walk down the hallway and then see a player and suddenly ask him something we talked about in one of the meetings yesterday.
Makes sense. I think these guys
are doing the exact same thing.
Terry, thank you so much for the insights, the knowledge, and we will catch up with you again soon.
Very good, Vic.
He is Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on ESPN 850 WKNR.